studying about that good old way, and shall wear the starry crown. Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in a river to pray, studying about that good old way, who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down. Come on down, come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, children, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, children, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Good Lord, show me the way.
Grace and peace and love from the Boulder Creek and my heart to yours. Welcome to worship on this Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, January 10. 2021. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being part of our video worship experience together. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus' baptism. Can you believe that Jesus submitted himself to baptism by John the Baptizer? And we have these records in the Gospels. Today we'll be looking at the Gospel of Mark about that and what it means for Jesus to be baptized and what it means for us, whether you were baptized as an infant, whether you were baptized as an adult, whatever tradition that you were baptized into the life of Christ through. We'll be talking about what baptism of desire means, baptism by love, baptism of hope, so many different ways besides physical water that we are all baptized as we walk through our life with Jesus in these heady days. It's so funny, I've been thinking this week about the Didache, which is a Greek word for the teaching. The Didache almost made the New Testament. It was written in the second century, and it was a how-to manual, including chapter 7 in the Didache about how to baptize people. And part of that, just for a little theological humor and fun today, was that people were to be baptized in living water, much like the Boulder Creek here. That meant running water, flowing water, and preferably cold water, according to the Didache. So we'll be talking through about some of the historical aspects of baptism as well as what it means in our own lives today. As always, I invite you to share this video feed with your friends and family. You can forward it. It's one of the most, you know, easiest ways to share the good news about what's happening with Pine Street Church. So I invite you to share this video. I invite you to follow us, our new podcast, Hyphenated Life, also Pine Street Church and Off-Broadway Preschool. As always, I invite you to like and share anything that comes out of our big tent ministry together from Hyphenated Life, Pine Street Church, and Off-Broadway Preschool. Thank you for joining us today. If you're curious about what it means to be a meaningful member at Pine Street Church, I invite you to write me at andrew@pinestreetchurch.net. No matter where you live, whether you're in Denver, Boulder, or beyond, we would love to talk to you about what it means to be part of this spiritual movement in Boulder known as Pine Street Church. Much gratitude and grace and peace to you today. We begin today's service with this word of welcome and invocation. Welcome to worship.
Gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Amen.
Okay, so I can't remember all the details. I was pretty young, maybe 4. All I know is I just wanted to be brave. But I just remember being really nervous. I remember being or feeling forced into it. My parents really wanted me to do it because they thought it would be good for me. They thought it was the right time. On the other hand, I wanted to do it because my best friend was doing it. Any of this sound familiar in your memories? Of course, I'm talking about my first swimming lesson. And while my instructor wasn't looking, I somehow managed to float down into the deep end of the pool with the big kids. And I was in way over my head, and before I knew it, my feet were no longer touching the bottom, and I was gasping for air. No matter how hard I tried, I could not pull myself up out of the water, and I worried that nobody was going to see me, and in my 4-year-old mind, I thought I was literally going to drown. And just when I thought I could not hold my breath a second longer, my swim coach came, and at the last possible moment, pulled me up out of the water and sat me at the side of the pool. And while I coughed up water and caught my breath, I just sat there totally embarrassed and totally grateful that someone had literally saved my life. Needless to say, my first swimming lesson made a lasting impression on me. And though I can't remember the details, probably because of my lack of oxygen at the time, I know that experience of almost drowning made a mark on my life. My first swimming lesson is not an altogether different experience than Christian baptism. More than enough water is present, so that I get the point, and a mark is made on my life whether or not I can recall every single detail, and whether or not my motives are any more or less pure than the water itself. This is a Sunday, baptism of our Lord Sunday, when we remember our baptisms. Do you remember yours? I know some of you were baptized as babies, but you were brought up in a tradition that reminded you of its significance. Some of you were baptized as young children, some of you as adults. So I just wonder today, have you considered lately what it means to you now? How that mark of Christian baptism has made a lasting impression in your own journey? For many of us lifelong Baptists, we are well aware of just how dangerous baptism can be, traumatic swimming lessons notwithstanding. The whole image of being buried underwater comes with the understanding that if we are held there and held under long enough, we could very well drown. And that's really the point. We are buried with Christ in baptism, but we are raised to walk in newness of life, as the baptismal liturgy goes. And when we actually remember our baptisms, based on what I've heard over the years, we remember some really important details, like I forgot to hold my nose, or I was worried about what I was going to wear under the baptismal robe, or I remember the water being freezing cold, or I remember being afraid my pastor wouldn't pull me up in time. And then there are the reasons why we did it in the first place, you know, everything from because my girlfriend was a Baptist, because my friends were doing it, and I didn't want to be left out because I was told Jesus did it, so I should too. All sorts of different motives and reasons, right?
And so I wonder, when Jesus remembered his own baptism, what do you think he remembered most? I think he would probably remember what it was like, and a lot of what it was like here according to St. Mark. He must have told his disciples later on what it was like. The river was probably muddy. John was probably nervous. A lot of people were probably wondering why Jesus was even being baptized in the first place. And perhaps what he remembered most, though, was not any of those things. What he remembered was the pronouncement that precipitated his entire life and ministry. Just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." God claimed Christ in baptism, named him and claimed him as his beloved Son. Who he had been all along was revealed at his baptism. This is a watershed moment in Jesus' life when he was about 30 years old. And for 30 years, he had lived a modest life as a native of Nazareth, a small town in the region of Galilee. He grew up the son of Mary and Joseph. He learned his adopted father's skill of carpentry, building bookshelves and making tables and chairs, perhaps. Unfortunately, the Gospels don't tell us about his life between the ages of 12 and 30, so after all the drama surrounding his birth, we can only speculate about the 18 years in between his adolescence and adulthood. And I'd love to know, wouldn't you, what were his high school and college years like? Did he grow up hearing people say things like, "That Jesus is wise beyond his years, really keep your eye on him. He could really end up going somewhere." Or was there the expectation that Joseph and Mary's boy would inherit the family business and run the carpenter shop on Main Street in downtown Nazareth? You know, while he was working away in the family business, Jesus had been hearing about a religious revival being preached by his second cousin, John the Baptist, somewhere in the nearby Jordan Valley area, and he had heard how the crowds were showing up to be baptized by John, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as the text says. Even though he was about 6 months older than Jesus, John, the baptizer, always had looked up to Jesus. One day, Jesus decided the time had come for him to go over and get in line with everybody else who was ready for a change in their lives. At the edge of the riverbank, John sees Jesus stepping down into the water, and from his reaction, must have figured Jesus would be taking things over from here. Thank you very much. Jesus would be the one doing the baptizing now. But quite the opposite happens here. Jesus says, "John, I want to be baptized too." John says, "You want me to baptize you? You're the one who should be baptizing me." He meant it too. It wasn't some sort of false flattery from a fellow minister. Jesus knows John is being sincere, but he assures John that this is the way it needs to be. And perhaps John, shaking his head with some confusion, says, "I guess, if you insist." And just as water had once broken in Mary's womb to give birth to Jesus, the River Jordan water breaks over his body to give birth to a movement that would not only change the course of his life, it would change the entire course of history. This turning point in time forever marked him as the beloved Son of God, and in turn, he would make his mark on the world. He couldn't do that, apparently, without getting into the water like everybody else. He could have kept dry. He could have avoided getting his hair wet and his feet muddy. But his wading into the water meant that he was wading into the lives of the sinners and sufferers and outcasts and people searching for redemption. He identified with them by tasting the tears of their repentance and sharing their hope for new life. A little eccentric and weird, you might say. Just the sight of John the Baptist alone on a diet of locusts and wild honey sounds a little weird. I love what the late evangelical trailblazer Rachel Held Evans says. She wrote, "Sometimes I think what the church needs most is to recover some of its weird. There's no sense in sending her through the makeover montage of the chick flick when she'll always be the strange, awkward girl who only gets invited to prom on a dare. In the ritual of baptism," Rachel says, "our ancestors acted out the bizarre truth of the Christian identity. We are people who stand totally exposed before evil and death and declare them powerless against love. There is nothing normal about that. My friends, after the kind of week we've had in our country, I think it's time for us followers of Jesus to recover some of our weird. How many of us felt totally exposed before evil and death as we witnessed such darkness descend on the People's House, the U.S. Capitol, on Wednesday? It was indeed an attack done in Jesus' name, by the way. As BJC Executive Director Amanda Tyler wrote this week, she says, "My outrage increased when I saw photos of the rioters holding up signs like Jesus Saves and heard reports that the first invaders to enter the Senate chamber carried a Christian flag. These images are textbook examples of Christian nationalism, an ideology that merges American and Christian symbols, narratives, and identities. Christian nationalism perverts Christianity and endangers our political union, claiming a special privileged position for Christianity and its followers because it ignores the sin of black chattel slavery. Christian nationalism in the American context also provides cover for white supremacy and racial subjugation." Think about the additional harm perpetuated by the assailants acting in Jesus' name. The rioters, who can accurately be labeled as radical Christian terrorists, used Christianity as a kind of mascot, trying to lend credibility and social acceptability to their terrorism. And in the process, they sullied Christianity and Jesus in the hearts and minds of people watching all over the world. My thanks to Amanda Tyler for speaking up this week, Executive Director of Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty in Washington, D.C., a national partner of our church. The thing to me is, as we think about all that's gone on nationally this week, and as we think about baptism of our Lord, you see, we join Jesus in the water because Jesus first joined people like you and me in the water. He did it so, not just so that we would follow him into the water, but so that we would follow him into the world, to stare evil and death in the face and stand up for love, for love, for love. In baptism, Christ makes a mark on our lives so that we can make a mark on the world. Christian baptism is God's way of stamping us with a mark of divine authenticity. This divine seal of approval is in the shape of a cross that marks our lives forever in the waters of baptism. Promises are made. The divine promise made is that we belong now and forever to God. It is a promise that the floods of depression and anxiety and fear and doubt and violence and people who do evil even in the name of Jesus will not overwhelm the loving care of God, who buoys us up out of the water when we think we cannot hold our breath a second longer. The human promise made is that we will pledge our allegiance to the one who calls us beloved, that we will live into the promises we make in baptism to follow the will and way of Jesus, renouncing the backwater of sin and evil that would pull us under and hold us down. We are held under the waters of baptism so that we will not be held under the power of sin and death. The power of our promise is the confession that we are utterly powerless to keep our promise without the power of Christ and without the power of the love we know through Christ. That is to say, we can never become so independent that our faith is totally dependent on us. That's why in the early church, after 3 years of study and preparation, those who wanted to be baptized would stand in the early morning dark at Easter, stripped naked, and be baptized by total immersion. This represented giving away everything in order to follow Christ down into the water, in order to be raised to a whole new life. Then they would put on white garments to symbolize their purity and be welcomed into the family of God. My friends, when water breaks in the womb, it is a sign that a baby is about to be born into a human family. And for all Christians, baptism is the beautiful rite of passage when the water breaks over our heads and our bodies as a sign that we have been born into a spiritual family. And when we are born into the life of Christ, we come to realize that blood is not thicker than baptismal water. And ultimately, our spiritual identity as sons and daughters of God and as brothers and sisters in Christ makes a mark on us that is everlasting, for good and for good. No matter how good or how bad our experiences are with a human family, baptism is the time when we claim the Christ who claims us as members of a much larger spiritual family. So when you think about all the ways families, good human families, the best examples of those families that take care of each other, think of all the countless ways they do that, of all the countless ways a family loves one another. And that's what we do too. In the spiritual family of Christ and in this spiritual community we know as Pine Street Church of Boulder. My friends, there's so many voices in the world that would seek to threaten and drown out the voice of God calling us beloved sons, beloved daughters. And every day we are presented with more possibilities than we can name to remember our baptisms, not just as a past event, but as a continual reality, to recover our weird, especially in the kind of world we're living in right now. So just think of all the ways we use water every day, taking a bath or a shower, drinking a bottled water, washing our hands these days, right? Watering the lawn, doing the dishes. I love what Marilynne Robinson says in her novel, Gilead. She says there are moments when you realize water is made primarily for blessing and only secondarily for growing vegetables or doing a wash. Water is used for all kinds of things, but think of how often we can be reminded of the voice simply by paying attention to all the times we use water for one reason or another. And finally, just a touch of water on our lives can remind us of the Christ who claims us in baptism, whether it was our mother cradling us in her arms at the front of the church, or whether it was falling into the arms of a minister who declared, "I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We are welcomed into the life of Christ. We are welcomed into the beloved community by the grace of a God who wants us to hear and know that we are sons and daughters of God. The God who claims us in baptism is the Christ who we are called to claim again and again throughout our lives. Whether or not we see it all the time, baptism does leave a mark on us. It is a watermark. It is like a permanent, invisible tattoo of the sign of the cross over our lives. It reveals who and whose we are once and for all times. The hard work comes in agreeing with God that God is right when the voice Jesus heard at his baptism becomes the voice we hear at ours. "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased." May you today hear that voice ringing out deeply in your mind and heart. May it call us to keep the weird, the good kind of weird in Christianity, to be followers of God in the way of Jesus, to be people who stand totally exposed before evil and death and declare them powerless against love. Yes, there is nothing normal about that. And it's the best kind of weird we could ever imagine. God bless you on this baptism of our Lord Sunday. As we remember the words of Jesus at his baptism, may we remember it all over again today. Amen. Thank you.
My friends, thank you for joining us for Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition on this Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. I'm so grateful that you have joined, and if you're watching from wherever you're watching from and you're not normally part of our physical church community in Boulder, I would love to hear about that and hear from you. You can write me at andrew@pinestreetchurch.net. I would just love to know a little bit more about you and how you've come to connect with Pine Street Church in this new virtual format. Secondly, if you're interested in becoming a formal member of Pine Street Church, you could also write me, andrew@pinestreetchurch.net. I would love to talk with you about what meaningful membership means with our congregation. Thirdly, pay attention to everything being put out in the Pine Street Post. It's our main communication channel for the life of our church. So all the news that's fit to print usually goes into the Pine Street Post weekly, and you can subscribe at pinestreetchurch.net if you don't have a subscription to our weekly e-newsletter. Also, January 31 is our annual meeting at 11:30 a.m. We will do that via Zoom, and a link will be sent out the morning of for our annual meeting. Again, save the date, January 31. As you walk out into this world that God has made, it is so important for you to remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. And the love and the peace and the power and the joy and the justice and the beauty and the generosity of God are forever at loose through you. Go now and live like it is true. Amen.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down. To pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Good Lord, show me the way.